It's City Desk, news and views from City Hall, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. And now, here's the host of our program, City Desk, Mr. Vincent Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We're glad to be here for another edition of the City Desk podcast. We are recording this program at 10:38 in the morning on Thursday, November 3, here at Biloxi City Hall. Cecilia, we got a lot to talk about today.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot. And we have a full staff here. We have a few guests to join us today.
Cecilia is going to give us an update on some of the special events that we have going on this weekend. But one of the big things that has been in the works for months, I would dare say, and came forward to the Biloxi City Council on Tuesday, is the mayor's proposal to have waterfront design standards and guidelines. And here to talk about that is the city's Economic Development Council, former city attorney, former mayor, former state legislator, and current guest on the City Desk program, the Honorable Gerald Blessy. Good morning.
Morning.
Gerald, tell me about these waterfront design standards. Does this mean we're going to see millions of dollars spent on our waterfront and public money, or exactly what is our goal here?
Well, there's no city money involved. This is not a plan for construction projects. These are design guidelines and standards to encourage developers, public or private, when they do actually decide to build something on the waterfront, to do it in keeping with an iconic Biloxi theme. That is to honor the past and some of the great old design concepts while you embrace the future with new technology and so forth. But one of the main things we put in here among the standards really is to also protect public health and safety, especially fire safety and law enforcement. So one of the main things we have in here is a required setback at the water's edge. So fire pumper engines can get to behind the buildings or in front of the buildings, because we really want them to face the waterfront and take advantage of our 243 miles of waterfront we have in Biloxi, but also because they have fire boats that can come from the water side, and then firemen on the land would have easier access to their boats and to the pumpers, so that it's really a big fire safety, life safety add. So that's part of the standards. The guidelines are simply, it's not required. We're not requiring the developers to do anything other than embrace the city's architecture and heritage and culture so that it looks like Biloxi and feels like Biloxi, and that's why people come here.
Now, by the way, when you mention this public safety access, the beauty of that is it ties into something that Mayor Gillich and you have been talking about for some time, that let's take full advantage of this waterfront with maybe a boardwalk that just loops all the way around the peninsula.
Exactly. So among the guidelines, once you have this 25-foot setback for fire safety, that also makes it possible for a hotel developer, or where the city owns land, like in front of the Seafood Museum, for instance, to do a boardwalk. And the mayor would like to see a boardwalk where you can actually walk from DeBees Road all the way along the waterfront. Some places there's Sand Beach. Of course, you'd be at the highway at that point. And come on all the way around Point Cadet and all the way up to the I-110 bridge area. And many places there, you can actually go down to the water's edge, just like you could in the old days, so soft shelling or fishing or crabbing or just enjoying being on the water's edge. And that's part of the idea, is to encourage these things. This is not requiring that the city doesn't have to spend a nickel, although we have applied for Tidelands money to do this. And if we were getting our fair share of Tidelands money, we could do a lot of these boardwalks. We've got $1 million boardwalk going jointly with the county right now between Rodenburg and Veterans Avenue. That's 100% Tidelands fund, not city taxpayers. So a lot of these ideas could be implemented by public or private entities using Tidelands funds.
Essentially, what it sounds like to me is we're just looking for people to put some thought into this when they go to construct something on our waterfront. And to help influence their thinking, you've actually provided a number of pictures of what old Biloxi looked like.
That's right. Well, Buzzy Bolton, local architect, was a consultant in this, along with Paige Gutierrez, who's a local anthropologist in Biloxi, who wrote the cultural legacy of the seafood industry, which helped, you know, the Seafood Museum get started, and the Schooner Project. And those are the kinds of examples of things. The boardwalks, Buzzy, for instance, designed the new Biloxi Yacht Club, similar to the old Biloxi Yacht Club, and that's one of the pictures we show. You can do new buildings with an old theme that can still be modern and functional and have access to the waterfront. The other big thing about these guidelines, and again, we emphasize it's guidelines, not mandatory, but it gives you something to design from before you go start getting a building permit. Instead of designing it in Atlanta and coming down here and saying, here's how we want a particular restaurant to look, they start off with these guidelines and come down with something that's already compatible. Saves them money to have these guidelines. Design standards. So, but the boardwalks and the waterfront access, the public access to the tidelands is one of the purposes of the Public Trust for Tidelands. Even though the Secretary of State has indicated that he may oppose this because he's concerned about it affecting his ability to make more money for the state treasury, it would actually help the state treasury by having all these lands along the waterfront be more attractive to tourists, more attractive to businesses, because the public has easy access to the water. So we have more people walking around, like in Disney World or anywhere else, you have more business. More business means property values go up and the state makes more money.
A lot of people in Biloxi have been to New Orleans, and one of the examples that's being used is that waterfront right there at Waldenburg Park. And that's what we're talking about, right? Having wide areas where people will be able to feel comfortable traversing that waterfront.
Exactly. And we actually have a small example right here. The Point Cadet Marina has a boardwalk along the edge of the marina, and we could continue that boardwalk all the way around underneath the Ocean Springs Bridge, up past the Seafood Museum, and all the way up to the old fishing pier. So that's just an example. It's similar to the Riverwalk in New Orleans and a number of other cities around the nation. Waterfront cities, their biggest asset is their waterfront. And that's part of our heritage here. Seafood, fishing, all of that, you know. To be able to get to the water is the first step.
We've put a video on our city Facebook page, and it was something that you and Paige had called to my attention, but Gig Harbor looks like pre-Camille Biloxi, doesn't it?
It really does, and that's on the West Coast, the Puget Sound area, actually settled by Croatians, similar to some of the Croatians here in Biloxi. A lot of those old factories look very much like Biloxi. And one of the things, it's interesting when you look at those pictures, it's climate sensitive. We have a lot of rain and sun here, and so long overhanging roofs and sidewalk cafes underneath a roof, so you're protected from the sun and the rain, is the kind of thing Gig Harbor has, and it's the kind of thing that we used to have here in Biloxi, if you remember. The old small craft harbor kind of looked like that, where you had these overhangs and you can sit in the breeze without getting the sunburn, that kind of thing. So these guidelines are simply to try to encourage architects and engineers to recognize that they can build a really good building and still look and feel like iconic Biloxi. And it doesn't cost the city a nickel. In fact, it saves the developers money, and it encourages a higher value of development.
Well, I want to thank you for being here today. The most important message we have for people today is go to the website, look at the story, look at the pictures, look at the video, and then there's an important public hearing coming up where we would like the public to come out and give their opinions on this, and we think they would be favorable.
November 29th at the 1:30 at the council meeting, there'll be a public hearing to hear more about the details and the plans. And I'm hoping that our fire chief Boning will be there as one of our star performers on that hearing day.
Thank you, Gerald. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, speaking of Fire Chief Joe Boney, Chief Boney, I read a letter from you to Mayor Gillich, and you were talking about the importance of fire safety when it comes to that 25-foot setback, and that's not just your opinion.
Obviously not. I stated a couple of actual cases where had there been the fire protection, the setback in different areas, it could have been a different outcome for major fires that were experienced.
And one of these fires was in New Jersey where I think 60 people were killed, but one of them hit closer to home, and you were actually the battalion chief on duty.
Right. The old Dijon packing plant down on the east end of Biloxi, we had a call there one night for a trash fire. The first engine got there and found that the rear of the building was actually on fire, and they tried to make an attack. We made numerous attempts to try to get to the building to attack the fire. but couldn't get to the seat of the fire, the original seat of the fire, due to the wind and inaccessibility for our equipment. So we actually had to go move forward, go inside, and wait for the fire to come to us before we could actually attack it.
I remember that fire, and it seemed like it, in hindsight, it seemed like it burned for days. So this 25-foot setback idea, in your mind, that's not just an idea.
Oh, no. It really needs to be part of the plan. I talked to Mr. Blessy about this, and it's easy to get on board with this when you understand, you know, the need there. But it's a dual thing. You know, pedestrians can use it on a daily basis, but in the event of an emergency, there's access there for emergency equipment to get in there. That's not unlike we already have this in place. If you remember, the parking garage at the Hard Rock has an access for an engine to get between it and the water of the harbor there. And that's predominantly to fight fires in the harbor area, but it's not unlike what we're asking to do here.
You're asking to do it, but as I read it, the International Fire Code pretty much says you will do this.
Right. It's part of the laws or the codes that we have. You know, and I've stated before that, you know, usually these codes or laws or ordinances are put in place to prevent something that has happened in history, and we just need to learn from history, just like we're trying to, you know, in the land development ordinance of the design of the buildings. I think it's just as important to learn from our history in firefighting and be able to accommodate all of these things.
These laws are usually the result of some tragedy that has occurred somewhere, and as I understand it, it's not just the International Fire Code, but closer to home, the Mississippi Department of Transportation also says we should do this.
Right. It's all codes, state codes, and to sidestep these codes, in my opinion, puts lives in danger, and there's no reason to do it.
Well, thank you very much. Speaking of history, we're going to move on now. You have an important event coming up this weekend at a project that's near and dear to your heart is the West End Hose Company No. 3, which is the Fire Museum here in the city of Biloxi, and you're going to be honoring one of our past mayors.
Right. Every year we have our steak dinner. It's a fundraiser, and we tried to incorporate this year We want to recognize someone in Biloxi who's really helped the museum move forward. And Mr. Danny Geis, who was a former mayor and judge and representative, state representative, has been with us, has supported this museum from the day one, the opening day he came down to that museum. And he comes periodically, and he has been a faithful member and paid his dues every year just to be part of that. He's really been a big supporter of the Fire Museum, so we're going to recognize him.
I think Danny Geis comes to just about every city function we have. To his credit, he does not come to the city council meetings, but he comes to everything else. Joe, now anybody can come to this steak dinner, and tell me a little bit about these steaks. As I understand, they're special cut.
Yeah, they're we go to the butcher, and we have them cut specifically for us. They're very large steaks. They're prepared by chefs in the fire department to your order, you know, however you like them cooked, and they are served by firefighters at the dinner. It costs $35.
$35
to it's a fundraiser, and we treat you very well. You will not, I can promise you, go home hungry.
Speaking of that, we had somebody who was there in the past. What did you think of it, William Sackett?
Not only is the steak going to dance on your palate, and it's a BYOB, all right, so you can bring your own Chardonnay or I should say Cabaret, but the most important, ladies and gentlemen, you will witness camaraderie that you very rarely see among the fire department, among the workers. It's more than them just cooking a steak and serving it. You will see in their eyes that you will see how they share this spirit of the hose company, of the history. And it is something to experience. The food is great and the atmosphere is great, but you should come and experience this moment. And a good way to get to know the men and women that keep us safe, especially when it comes to a fire.
And you're in that environment with that museum. You get to see the entire museum.
And, of course, as always, every year I torment everybody about the steam. So, but they like that. You know what I'm saying.
I'm going to buy you and Deborah a ticket this year again. Joe, how do people get tickets?
You can call the Fire Museum, 435-6119. Leave a message and we'll contact you back. Or easier, you can call the fire department, 435-6200, and someone will get your information and we can get you a ticket.
And if they're listening to this, say at midnight or 2 in the morning, they can probably email you.
Absolutely. Email me at jboney@biloxi.ms.us.
That's jboney, J-B-O-N-E-Y, at biloxi.ms.us. Anything else?
No, just thank you, and I really wanted to thank Gerald. I see he walked out, but for allowing the fire department to be on the beginning phases of this design standards here, it really allows us some good input on protection,
and also reflects good wisdom of thinking down the road. As was stated earlier, you know, you don't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been, and it's based on experience, and these codes are not there for restriction, but to give you insight, and at the end of the day, to protect everyone.
What do you think of that?
It says it all.
This guy's a genius. I mean, he really is. So Jay Boney, J-B-O-N-E-Y, at biloxi.ms.us. Steak dinner's this Saturday night. It starts at?
Starts at 6:30. There'll be hors d'oeuvres and drinks, and then the supper will be served at 7.
Right there at the West End Hose Company, which is on Howard Avenue, a block to the east of Porter, and it's just a beautiful setting. Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, I know you've been sleeping over here for the entire show, but we have that museum function over at the Fire Museum, but that's not the only museum having an important function.
No, we have the Maritime and Seafood Museum. They are actually on Saturday from beginning at 2 o'clock. They are going to be honoring 44 men and women who have helped shape the seafood industry on the Gulf Coast. And this is called the Heritage Hall of Fame by, Maritime and Seafood Industry Museum. It'll be at 2 o'clock. It is open to all of the 44 inductees and their families and friends. There'll be a small reception with some refreshments and some light hors d'oeuvres, and it'll be taking place again at 2 at the museum. Now, all of the inductees, their names will be listed in the library, which is on the second floor of the museum.
And you can see them now.
And you can see the list now on our website at biloxi.ms.us.
Are they going to be charging $35 to get in over there?
No, they are not. It is free. It is free.
But as Joe Boney says, you get a steak dinner. What else is happening?
Well, actually, starting Friday, tomorrow, the Biloxi Main Street continues their Finally First series with their downtown event from 5 to 8. It'll be in the downtown Rural Magnolia area. There will be a pop-up park, giveaways, and shopping specials during this event. Also on Saturday, there will be the Children's Health and Safety Fair. It'll be at the Lopez School on St. John Avenue. It'll be from 9 to noon. It's open to children up to age 5, of course, and their parents or their guardians. And it's a health and safety fair, so there will be a lot of there'll be health screenings, such as for vision, dental, hearing. There will be a lot of safety tips. The fire department will be out there with their fire truck. They'll be giving out safety tips. The police department will be there giving out safety tips for car seats and bicycles and stuff like that. We have a swim instructor that will be there with water safety. And they also have Mr. Germ Glow. It's a machine where the kids can stick their hands in there and it'll light up whenever, if their hands are dirty with germs they have on their hands.
What you do is you wash your hands while you're there, and then it'll show you when you put them under this blue light the areas that you miss. So what it's designed to do is instill healthy habits in children and to be thorough whenever they wash their hands. This is something that's being done by the XL by 5 group, and they always say this thing, and I think it's ridiculous, it's open for children 0 to 5.
Yeah, because it's, XL by 5 is a program that is kind of getting young children, is kind of guiding them and the parents into learning skills and stuff like that, and preparing them for when they go to preschool and for when they go to school. Also, again, that's Saturday morning from 9 to noon. Then Saturday, beginning at 2, is the Seafood Museum Hall of Fame. And then Sunday at the Visitor Center, There's going to be an unveiling of a new calendar. One of our local, well-known coast photographers, Alex North, will be there unveiling his 2017 Heaven's Gateway calendar. It'll begin Sunday from 2 to 4 at the Visitor Center. It's open to the public. Calendars will be on sale for $12, and there will be a light reception.
$1 a month for those calendars. Alex North is someone who, if you have ever been on Facebook, you have seen his photography. He is a dynamic photographer. He has stuff on exhibit all the time down at the Visitor Center, and this is a chance for you to have year-long copies of Alex North.
And as he says, he photographs, and he says, nature's given natural surroundings and the wildlife that call it home. So that's what these images will be in the calendar.
And also, you get an opportunity to meet this man, who is a joy to speak with, and his insightfulness, and also get his autograph without question. But you'll see where and what makes him tick as a photographer, of what he sees and how he goes. And the fascinating thing is you have to ask him, look at a picture, one that you like, and just ask him, why did you take that, or how did you go about getting that picture, or how did you see it? You'll get a fascinating story.
And when you're there, you can go into the gift shop, and I think there are some decorative glasses that are on sale there.
Yes, art on glass or sack-a-doodles that are there, hand-painted. And, of course, unique and exclusive to Biloxi is the Biloxi Lighthouse, which is always sells through the roof, and people take it home from around the country. And it's a nice way of giving back and paying forward to this beloved city of Biloxi.
And the Visitor Center is open weekdays from 5 to 8. Of course, it includes a gift shop, and it has a museum with a lot of different information.
It's open from 5 to 8?
8 a.m. to 5 p.m. weekdays. I apologize for that. It's the Biloxi Visitor Center weekdays, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Now, all of the events that we mentioned here are on our website. You can go to our website at biloxi.ms.us, and you can see the list.
You've been listening to City Desk, news and views from City Hall and around town, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.